From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Last month, an article was making the rounds on the internet with the title, "My Song Got Played on Pandora 1 Million Times and All I Got Was $16.89, Less Than What I Make from a Single T-Shirt Sale." The article addressed copyright laws and low royalties that artists are paid from Pandora. But the question it raises is much older than the internet. Can you make a living with music? Or is it like taking a vow of poverty for all but a few? Here's what we heard from one of you earlier today.
I got to tell you, it's incredibly difficult to be a musician in Seattle and probably anywhere. Money does not exist. Venues don't want to pay you money anymore. That's incredibly difficult. There's not a lot of people at shows anymore. I don't know if that's because punk rock's not popular in Seattle anymore. I kind of find that hard to believe considering grunge came from Seattle, but venues are closing down every day.
How about you? Are you trying to make a living with music? How's it working for you? 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Have you tried to make a living at music and then just thrown in the towel and went, this is just too hard, I don't want to do this anymore? 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Another way to look at this question is it any harder to make a living at music in the digital era than it was before? Or maybe is it easier? That's 206-543-5869, 206-543-KUOW. Quentin Morris is a concert violinist and head of the music department at Seattle University. And one of the things he tries to emphasize in his program is that the idea of the starving artist must be destroyed. Quentin, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Ross.
So I wonder what you mean by that. Are you saying you don't have to be a starving artist to be a musician?
In a sense, yeah, I am saying that, that you don't have to be a starving artist to actually make a living as a musician. I think that a lot of artists, not just musicians, but just artists in general, have these wonderful and great ideas that should make money for them, that should be profitable. But unfortunately, a lot of artists out there don't have the necessary tools needed in order to have their art make money for them. And so what I try to do with my students at Seattle University is give them tools to become entrepreneurial so that they can create opportunities not only for themselves, but for other artists that are in their communities. I think that's vitally important.
And I want to get to those tools because that's really like the how of how to make a living with a musician. But
absolutely.
But part of the myth around Bruce Springsteen, for example, is that he never got any kind of other job besides music. All he wanted to do was play and write music, and he was famous for not doing anything else. And then there's the myth of the novelist who does nothing but write, sits down and writes all day and lives in a garret and gets that done. And the idea there is that to be pure, to really develop your talent as a musician to the furthest, you can't be distracted by entrepreneurship or by other jobs.
Well, I think that is actually kind of a myth that has been established by artists, and I'm not saying that artists should not be true to their artistry or should not dive deep and be pure to themselves as artists. I think being pure to or being true to oneself as an artist and being a purist, if you may say, is learning the business side of your artistry to actually protect what it is that you've worked so hard and so diligent for. I mean, if we even just look at music history, even the greatest virtuosos and the geniuses of music, Mozart, for instance, he was an entrepreneur. I mean, he booked his own concert halls. He wrote his own music. He wrote and performed his music, but he was a businessman as well and called lots of deals and negotiated his own fees. Of course, after he got out of the house of his father under being with him. But he did a lot of the business tools on his own. And I think that we are moving into an age now where the artist of today cannot just continue to sit by the telephone or wait by their email inboxes. They have to go out and create opportunities for themselves and for others. And so they have to be entrepreneurial so that their art and other people's art can continue to live on.
And maybe more creative ways than just going out on a street corner and playing and putting a hat down in front of you? Or is that a technique?
I think that if that works for some people, I think that's great. I wouldn't necessarily say that's the most creative way. I think that a lot of artists today don't know the way. They don't know, again, they don't have tools. They don't know that there's other options for them to go out and make money for themselves.
So. How did you come to this realization early on? You were a concert violinist, or were you sort of the pure musician? I'm not going to get involved in business or anything. And then you really realized that wasn't going to work. You needed to get a teaching position or something else to help support your habit.
Well, I come from, my father was a businessman, and so was my mother. And they worked very hard. And so I kind of grew up with this, you know, if you want to be successful, you have to work really hard, five times as hard as the average person. I was always told that as a kid. And when I got to college, I remember I was a pre-law student and then made kind of the switch to music. And I remember being in school and seeing artists suffer. And I thought, that's not how I was raised. That's not the type of life that I want to live. And I remember students saying, like, you're not a real musician unless you're broke. You're not a real musician or a real artist unless you're hungry. And I thought, that's not right. I believe that you can be true to yourself as an artist and still make money. Mm-hmm. I never understood that. And so through my octet, The Young Eight, that I created, I learned invaluable lessons about how to market a group, branding, accounting, just organizing an ensemble, how to run an organization, nonprofit work. I learned all those tools early on in my early 20s, and I didn't realize at that time that I was becoming an entrepreneur. And so by creating these opportunities for myself and for my colleagues in that group, I was able to create a career for myself.
Let's hear another take on this. We're talking today about how do you make a living at music. And with me, Quentin Morris. He's an assistant professor and director of chamber and instrumental music at Seattle University. And he's also a concert violinist. From a different angle of the music industry, Tony Keywell is with us. He's vice president of artist and repertoire at Sub Pop, the A&R guy. And today's his 13th anniversary at Sub Pop. Tony, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
So when you sign a band at Sub Pop, do they have an expectation that, boy, I've done it now. I've taken care of all the business. I signed on the dotted line with Sub Pop. I don't have to worry about business anymore.
Well, we're pretty lucky in that most of the artists who are drawn to us, I think, have a little bit more grounding than that. But it is true that I think more often than I would like, I do have to remind people that, you know, no matter what, they need to. No one's ever going to work as hard for them as they should, and if they aren't entering into any relationship with any other business partners with that understanding, then they're setting themselves up for disappointment.
So, like Quentin, you try to instill in them the idea that they really are going to have to be paying attention to business to some degree. Tony, are you with us?
No, and I agree with that completely. I mean, and if they don't understand as much of the business as they possibly can, they're going to miss out on a lot of income opportunities, and they're also going to get taken advantage of, for sure, at some point.
I want to ask you and Quentin your top two ideas when you're talking to a musician who says, "I want to make this my life. I want to make a living off this, and I don't want to starve. I want to actually make a living off this." What do you tell musicians, Tony?
Well, I think, you know, it requires perseverance and attention to detail, and I think more than anything else, they've got to be doing it because they love it and hope that the rest follows to a certain, without losing perspective on actually paying attention to the business stuff. I believe that if you aren't coming from an honest and passionate place with what you're pursuing, that if you're banking on it, if you're pursuing it just for financial ends, you know, a lot of that is a bit outside of your control, whereas pursuing something because it's personally fulfilling is within your control. I'm a big fan of keeping that as your primary focus while, you know, making sure that you're not missing the boat on all of the other stuff, because it is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, the odds are stacked against you. It is a creative endeavor. It requires, it's a non-objective enterprise. You know, this is, music by definition is largely subjective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not people like it, everybody likes different stuff.
Yeah.
Whether what you're making at any given moment is going to be what's in vogue and make you tons of money, I mean, that, there's so many moving parts that are completely outside of your control, that to get completely hung up on that will suck any chance of happiness out of your life.
Well, also, in the area that you work in, and it, I'll call it popular music, it's sub-pop, but it's below pop, but it's in the pop realm, there are, the barriers to entry have been lowered so much in the last 20 years. You can go record your own album and have it sound pretty decent anywhere you want to go. You can put up your own web page. You can get people to go to it. Stuff that was impossible to do 20 years ago. So there's a lot more people who can enter into it. So your advice about you have to love it, not you can't just be in it for the money is useful stuff. But Quentin Morris, does that go far enough? Because certainly there are some musicians who figure out the business end, and maybe they don't love it as much, but they love the money they can get if they figure out the business end of music. That's got to be true too, right?
I think it is true to an extent. I agree with the gentleman that you have to have some perseverance. I think a lot of perseverance and be willing to also accept a lot of rejection because that's, I think that's part of the nature of the business. I think that if you don't have a clear vision and you're not willing to accept lots of rejection that comes your way, then one or two things is going to happen. You'll go broke or yeah. You'll just quit.
Well, I wanted to stop you right there, but a clear vision can be a clear musical vision.
Sure.
Does that have to be melded with a clear business
vision? Business vision, absolutely.
And here's, I want to get to some of the points that you went over quickly before.
Yeah.
Give two ideas to people who would like to be working musicians, not starving musicians, two things they need to think about so they have that business sense.
Well, I think the first thing is a plan. I believe in a 5-year plan. I've always done that. And I think with your 5-year plan, you need to outline exactly what your mission is, not only of the type of business that you'd like to create, but also what's the mission of your artistry? What is it that you want to convey to the world? And how is it that you're going to use your artistry to have an impact on society? So I think the mission is the first thing.
Because the artistic vision.
The artistic mission as well as a business mission. What type of money would you like to be making? What type of venues would you like to present your art or concert venues would you like to perform in?
How much do you want to travel
How
or
much
not
do
travel?
You want to travel? That sort of thing. Where does your family fit in with all of this? If you're a student, do you have student loans? How do you plan on paying those off? Those sorts of things. What goes into your artistic, your business, and your personal mission. I think that's one. I think the second thing, which I think is vitally important, is you have to have a mentor, someone who is in your area of expertise or in the area that you are desiring to go into, who can give you advice and point you in the direction of how to make your artistry into a business. Because let's face it, in the music industry or just in the arts industry in general, it's all about networking. Mm. And so having that stable mentor or just call it a team of people who can surround you. And even if you're not very articulate or very good with the business, you can use your team or mentor to help guide and direct you into the things that you need in order to create a business.
Takes a village to create
Absolutely.
A successful musician and a musical career. I want to go to Sandy, who's listening to us in Federal Way. And Sandy, you figured out how to make a living at music. Tell us a little bit about how you did it.
Well, I'm using a site called Patreon.com. It was developed by Jack Conti, who's one of the people in Pomplamoose, if you know of them. And it works like Kickstarter, but not. Kickstarter raises a lot of money for a huge project. This is a site where you can go on and post your content, and people pledge like a dollar per piece of content. So if you do music videos or you upload an MP3 or something, people can pledge $1, $5, $10 for each one. And the artist then knows, if I put out another piece of content, I'm going to make $2,000 because of all these supporters who are pledging for me.
Interesting.
And Patreon. It's an amazing site. Artists, go out and check it out. It doesn't have to be just musicians. I'm a crafter, and I do craft videos.
Yeah.
And that's what I make money on.
Patreon.com.
Yeah, P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Okay, thanks very much for telling us about that, Sandy. And Quentin, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about making a living in business. And also Tony Kuhl, Vice President of A&R at Sub Pop Records. Thank you. Quentin Morris, a concert violinist, head of the music department at Seattle University. If you have more to add on this, go to our Facebook page, The Conversation. David Hyde produces The Conversation with Arwin Nix. Guy Nelson is our engineer today. I'm Ross Reynolds. Thank you so much for joining us.